is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
First up today, Living Naturally with Michaela. Let's bring her on to reintroduce herself, her show, and what's up for today. Welcome back.
Wow. All right. Thank you, Nicole, for that intro. As usual, I love being here, and we have another great show today. Thank you to all you listeners out there for tuning in as well. I am Michaela Jones, MD, naturopath and integrative holistic health specialist with Living Naturally for Life. Welcome to another show of Living Naturally with Michaela. Today, we're going to be talking about good selfishness. Selfishness is often viewed as negative, but in reality, it is sometimes good to be selfish in order to protect our own health. Today's guest, Monica Becker, will help us to understand the difference between selfishness and good selfishness and how being good selfish is not selfish at all. It actually improves our health. Before I bring her on, let me tell you a little about her. Some of you may know Monica already, as she previously hosted a show of her own here on News for the Soul. Ironically, though, we met after I started hosting my own show. So small, small world. You never know who you might run into. So Monica's career started as a Germany-trained engineer in horticulture. After immigrating to Canada in 2002, she shifted into a role in tourism where she eventually was promoted to a sales center team lead. Monica flourished in the role as a trainer, coach, and co-leader of their team of 25 and discovered her love for the coaching profession. However, due to corporate restructuring in the fall of 2008, Monica was laid off. She chose to take coach training and subsequently started her own boutique coaching firm, Clear Directions Coaching, in 2009. With her 15-plus years of experience in the personal and professional development realm, Monica now mostly works with business owners, corporate leaders, and their teams to resolve their internal and external struggles. Through her uniquely personal yet extremely practical approach, Monica supports her clients in transforming into the next best versions of themselves and becoming more authentic, confident, impactful, and fulfilled as a result. In her work, Monica consistently applies a bring your whole self to work and life perspective because she's a firm believer that we can't live satisfying lives if we ignore any part of who we are. Besides being a coach, trainer, and self-healing facilitator, Monica is also a 3-times published author, including 1 Amazon bestseller and an international speaker. So welcome, Monica. I am so happy to have you here.
Well, thanks so much, Michaela. I want to thank you for the warm introduction and the warm welcome. It's wonderful to be back here on the show, but this time as a guest.
I know. It's just so crazy how we met and everything, and then I realized, oh, my gosh, we both have had shows on News for the Soul Radio. So it's like, wow, yeah. That's crazy. That's crazy. So, I just love you, Monica, and I love that you're here. One of the things that drew me to you is because, much like me, you have a very similar approach, one that is healer-oriented, but also analytical in nature as well. You know, there are very few of us out there that are like this hybrid of woo and analytical, you know. So it was great to meet someone else who had the same type of persona that I do, you know, a little bit of
totally.
A little bit of that. Yeah, I call myself a hybrid, you know, so I own it, you know, so which is great because that's part of what we're going to be talking about today is owning all of you and bringing all of you to the table. So welcome.
Yeah,
all right,
mutual
so
appreciation for
in.
You from my side, yeah.
All right, so let's just jump right in because this is a great topic. You know, I deal with clients a lot about the whole selfishness, you know, and it's more on my end, it's more about boundaries and trying to help those clients, like, establish those boundaries because I understand how lack of boundaries can really affect your health. So you are, like, actually approaching this from the same type of topic, but from a different perspective. So I love that. So let's just jump in. So what does good selfishness mean? So I'm curious about that phrasing that you brought here for us today. So what does that mean?
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the question. And of course, I'd love to explain that concept that I have developed and coined. So for me, good selfishness means that we make our own well-being and our contribution to the world the highest priority in our life. And important is that at the same time, we respect other people and their unique perspective. So it's the both end, right? Like taking self-care as a top priority while also allowing other people to have their perspectives and their approaches, right? But not diminishing ours for the sake of fitting in with other people, right? So it's really be making our own well-being and our health our top priority while allowing other people to do it for themselves.
Awesome. So what is the difference, though, between selfishness and good selfishness? You know, why, you know, is the attribute good necessary to differentiate the two?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And when I was first developing this concept of good selfishness, I had to really understand that for myself, right? What is the distinction between selfishness and good selfishness? And as most of you probably know, selfishness oftentimes is looked at something negative. And I think the negative connotation comes from people just being like not caring about other people in the process of them living their life. So for me, selfish is when somebody is concerned excessively or exclusively with themselves. They're just seeking or concentrating on their own advantage, on their own pleasure and their own well-being. And here's the important thing, without respect or regard for others. So that's the part where selfishness can have that negative taste to it. While in and of itself, taking care of oneself is not a bad thing. So that's why I coined that term good selfishness and added the attribute of good to it. Because for me, good selfishness is still also being interested in living our truth and making our own health and well-being a priority in our life. However, the distinguishing factor is that we honor our own values and needs while having respect for other people and their unique perspectives. So that is the most important distinguishing factor between the old term selfishness and the good selfishness that we're talking about here today.
Okay, great. All right, so can you give a few real-life examples of selfishness versus good selfishness, you know, to kind of help us put it in perspective here?
Yeah, for sure. Like a couple of situations come to mind. One is imagine that you're living in a house with three other people, right? So there's four parties co-living in the same house. And one of the people is a lover of loud rock music. And of course, that person wants to live out their desire and their love for music. So they crank up the music every night from 8 till 11 o'clock because that's just what they love. And so that, in some ways, can be perceived as selfish if they do not respect the other people in the house. So as long as they know that the other people don't like that loud music, right? If they're all fans of loud music, this can just be a great cause of having fun. But if there are three other people that need to go to bed early because they need to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, this can be something really selfish and disrespectful. So the good selfish approach then would be to still honor the love for music and the desire to just get into it and maybe dance, but take into consideration the other people's needs. So it could look like having a conversation with the other people in the household and finding a compromise, right? So maybe the music lover could have the music cranked up loud from 8 till 9, and from 9 till 11, they just put on their headphones, right? Or maybe they'll have one week in the day where they can just all of them party together and have some fun together, right? But it's that consideration of the other people that they're living with that makes a difference between just selfish and just going for it and blasting the music regardless of other people's needs for quiet and rest, or whether they actually are willing to negotiate and make it work for everybody. Did that make sense?
Yeah. That does make sense, and that actually resonates a lot with me because I still have two adult children living at home.
Oh, wow, okay.
So the whole thing about the loud music, you know, that one hits really home, you know. My son actually likes to play his electric guitar, and, you know, we kind of, like, had to establish quiet hours in the house, and it's like, okay, during this time frame, you know, we need to get some sleep so we can, you know, do our, you know, daily things and everything. If you want to, you know, continue to play your guitar, you know, you can plug in your earphones into your amp and play to your heart's content.
Exactly, exactly.
I totally get that. So that's a great real world example that I just totally understand that one. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And I have another one for you if you want.
Oh, okay. Yeah, please, continue.
Another one is also related to relationships, right? Like romantic or intimate partnerships, which oftentimes are a feeding ground, right, for conflicts and selfishness, right? That people blame each other to be selfish. So in this scenario, imagine that one of the partners puts a guilt trip on the other partner because they, for example, they want to go see a movie that they love, right? But the partner really, it's not down their alley at all. They have no interest in watching that movie. But the person puts a guilt trip on them by making them feel bad that they're not following, not taking an interest in their pleasures, and so they're kind of like putting the other person in a spot of being guilty for not supporting their pleasures. So that for me would be an example of a very selfish approach. So the good selfish approach now could look like two ways. You could, again, negotiate, right? Maybe they can choose a movie that they both enjoy, and then they go to the movie together. And or this person could actually invite a friend to go to the movie with them, right? So they would still honor their own desire to see that movie that they just love, but they don't impose it on their partner that they have to go with them in order for it to be enjoyable, right? So that's, it's just a slight difference. So they don't have to let go of watching the movie. No, that's not what we're talking about, but it's the way of how they are maybe pressuring somebody else into going with them and making them feel guilty. That's the part that I would consider that's the selfish component of it, right? It's a good thing for them to follow to live out their desires and their preferences and have fun, absolutely, right? But not at the cost of somebody else's well-being.
Awesome. Yeah, that's totally understandable. So, you know, I always like to tie everything back, you know, because my show is about, you know, healthy living and all that kind of stuff, you know. And it's all about body, mind, and spirit. There are different components of it. So I always like to bring everything back to how it affects your health. So tell me, how does good selfishness, how is that related to our health and our overall well-being? Give me a little more insight on that.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to. So first of all, health in and of itself, the concept of health is one of the eight aspects of good selfishness. And I'll just explain what that means to me. So when you're looking at good selfishness from the angle of health, it means that you are consistently taking care of your physical and emotional well-being by getting enough sleep, eating and drinking, nourishing and healthy foods, you're exercising. You're also making sure that you have your quiet times and that you have time to relax and that you stay connected to your feelings and the things that matter to you in life. So health from that point of view is actually an important aspect of good selfishness, or a way, an area in your life where you can practice good selfishness. So that's one tie-in of how good selfishness relates to health. The other thing is that from my point of view, when we take good care of all aspects of our life, we will by default be healthier and have a greater sense of well-being. Because in some ways, all aspects of our life are connected. So let me give you an example. For example, when you are ignoring finances and your financial well-being in your life, so you're not taking good care of your finances, you're not planning, you're not making sure that you feel secure in this area of your life, guess what? You might probably be feeling stressed, right? You might feel uncertain. You might feel like as though you're not in control. And that will affect how you feel overall, and it will affect, or it has the potential to affect your health. Because as you know, stress affects our immune mm-hmm. system. If our immune system mm-hmm. is low, guess what? Our health goes down mm-hmm. the drain. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I see you nodding your head.
You know me, and yes, I am nodding my head over here. Yes, exactly.
Right? Another aspect of good selfishness is work. It's an important part of our life, right? We spend so much time at work. So imagine that you're in a work scenario where you're just not feeling well. You're not feeling acknowledged, the work, it doesn't really bring you joy, it doesn't fulfill you, and it leaves you with a lack of sense of contribution, right? So again, you're probably not very happy about that, and you're feeling maybe deflated and like flat about your work, although mm-hmm. you're spending so much time there. Right. And again, those feelings of lack, those feelings of being deflated, not feeling that you're contributing in a meaningful way, they will have an effect on your body and how well the body can cope with aggressors like viruses and other attacks. Mm-hmm. Right. So there again, right, taking good care of the aspect of work in your life is supportive of your overall health. So those are a couple of areas, just as an example, that by taking good care of all aspects of our life, we're also boosting our health and our ability to deal with what comes at us.
Awesome. Okay, so let's dig a little deeper into this. So you're talking a little bit about how this affects certain aspects and areas mm-hmm. of your life. So let's go a little bit deeper into this. And what are the most important areas of life where we should apply or demonstrate good selfishness? You know, I was looking at your wheel of good selfishness exercise. It's very interesting, and so I'd like for you to kind of, you know, touch on those different aspects for the audience here. You know, I think this is good information that, you know, we all should have. So tell me about this. Tell me more about this.
Yeah, perfect. I'm happy to do so. And since you mentioned the Wheel of Good Selfishness, this is something that we've made available to all of you in the audience. And I'm just going over the eight aspects of good selfishness that are listed on this PDF, which we'll later on we'll share the link where you can retrieve that for yourself and go through the exercise yourself.
So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying, absolutely. We will make sure everyone gets Monica's information to download the freebies right now. Though, let's see about all of these aspects of good selfishness. I'm so excited.
Yeah,
yay.
Exactly.
All right, go on.
Okay, so the first one that I mentioned is life direction. And that is coming from an angle of having an idea what your life is all about, right? And that comes from you making time for yourself and to connect with your that inner part of you, that bigger part, that higher self, if you want to call it that, that guides you in pursuing that what you are meant to do in your life. And in order to explore that, because like Michaela and I, we have that in common, that we have a very logical background, right? And while I don't know exactly what your history was in regards to that and how you developed the other side of yourself, Michaela, for me, it was definitely that at some point I just needed to dive a little deeper into my inner self, into my internal landscape, because I felt disconnected. Right? I felt disconnected and lost. So I needed to spend some time to actually explore what my core values are and look at my life from an angle of, so what is my life all about? What is the vision that I'm holding for my life? And even if some of those things can shift throughout our life, it's just very important that we have that solid grounding in who we truly are and why we are here on earth at this moment in time, so that we have a foundation and some guidance for our life, including our businesses and or our work. So life direction from an angle of good selfishness means that for you to carve out some time to actually ask those big questions and to take the time and energy to look into yourself and explore who you truly are, what matters to you, what lights you up, and what is it that you can contribute? Because we all need a sense of contribution, I dare say, that we all need that, or we all do so much better when we have a sense of contribution, right? Which, again, ties into our overall health and well-being. So life direction is the first aspect that I shine some light on from the perspective of good selfishness. Any questions about that, Michaela?
Not at the moment, no. Let's just go ahead and just move through them and see what comes
up. Awesome. Okay. So the second one is the aspect of autonomy. And what I mean by that is that you have freedom about your daily life choices and that you make your life choices from a place of what feels good and right and true to you. But that also means that you need to know what you want and what you don't want, and that you're able to communicate that and act on it with confidence and certainty, right? So that looks like you're saying yes and no honestly and confidently and based on what is true to you, what's true to your desire, right? And that you're not saying yes and no out of habit or based on other people's expectations or your desire to fit in, right? So that can take courage, right? Like to live a life like that can take courage because we might just upset other people that are used to us fitting in and that are used to us bending down and making ourselves small because we just fulfill their desires and expectations rather than doing what is true to us. So when we change that, it may actually cause some criticism and some rejection from other people, right? But in the end, to demonstrate that kind of autonomy by speaking and behaving in a way that is true to us is actually setting us free, which is, again, by stepping away from suppressing our true voice into greater freedom, It is, again, in support of our health and overall well-being.
Gotcha.
So that's the second aspect.
Okay.
And the third one, then, is balance. And balance, for me, is like a healthy mix of work and leisure time. It means that you have time outside of work to relax, recharge your batteries, and fill yourself up with experiences that are enjoyable and that you really treasure. It does not mean that it has to be 50-50, right? Because you probably experience that yourself. There are just times in our life where work can be more demanding, and or we are just enjoying our work so much that we are putting more of our time into it, and that's okay, right? If it's something that nourishes us, it's totally okay. And still, we may want to, or we may feel the need that we still need some time away from work and with our family and friends and exercising or whatever it may be. So balance does not mean it's a total equilibrium between work and personal time. No, it's a unique mix, but one that we need to assess again and again whether it still feels healthy, right, and not draining and not cumbersome, right? So balance is maybe not even the right word, right? But because
balance, balance is fine. That for me personally, my work and personal life equilibrium, if you will, changes. So it ebbs and flows, you know, at different times. Sometimes it's like, oh, my gosh, I just need a break. You know, I just need 5 minutes to myself. I'll go do a puzzle, and then I get back to work. You know, other times it's like, oh, my gosh, I need, like, an entire week off because I am just, like, totally exhausted. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I get that.
So, you know, so maybe balance isn't exactly the right word, but it's an understandable, relatable word. So,
I get that.
All right.
Sometimes
so
like you said, right? Sometimes it can look like, okay, I'm putting the brakes on and I'm going to take the rest of the day off because I just can't handle anything else, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's important too, because people need to understand that it's okay to do that. Sometimes you have to do what's best for you. You know, it's like if you find that you're in a place where you just have to step away for a moment. Step away for a moment, because you're not doing yourself or anybody else any good if you just keep pushing through and you're really not devoted or in it 100% at that particular moment. So
I get that. Yeah.
All right. So what's next on the list?
The next one is one that aspect that I already mentioned, which are the finances, right? So again, money is a big topic for people. Right, an important one, because it's our currency of exchange, right? Our currency of energy exchange is happening in the form of money, right? So to take care of our personal and business finances and ensure that we feel solid there and that we have a plan and that we maybe have some sense of security is important, right? Because if that is not in place, it can be very stressful. And that, as I said before, can affect our health negatively. Right, so taking care of our finances is actually a good selfish thing to do, right? And it's a responsible thing to do.
It is.
Right, so that's the fourth aspect that I have. So the next one would be growth, and by growth, under the perspective or from the angle of good selfishness, is actually to take time for yourself, where you stimulate your mind. Whether you read or you engage in meaningful conversations, you attend courses, or you challenge the power of your mind in other ways, it's important that you keep yourself engaged and that you take time to invest energy and time and focus into the things that are interesting to you, that breathe some fresh air of life into you, right? So that you don't stay stagnant. And feel like you feel like a little flower that hasn't been nourished and that just barely holds on, versus something that if you nourish it can grow and flower and flourish just beautifully, right? So growth is something, it's part of life, Like if we don't grow, it almost feels like we're less than 50% alive, right? So to stimulate our mind and grow in different directions as a human being is an important aspect of taking good care of ourselves and our life and how to enjoy life and contribute. So growth is another aspect that I find important as a way of demonstrating good selfishness. And again, if we nourish that aspect in our lives, again, it will contribute to our overall well-being and health.
Awesome. Growth is important. If you're not growing, you're dying.
Yeah, exactly. You're going backwards. Yeah, that's right. And even if we're just stagnant, right, it's not necessarily a pleasant feeling. But sometimes there need to be plateaus, right? There need to be periods of pause, and that is okay, right? But overall, to develop as a human being, I think it's necessary for us if we want to, if we want to live full and vibrant lives. Okay,
right.
so the sixth aspect. Yeah, sorry, we're talking over each other.
No, it's okay. I try not to talk over people, but I get so excited that I'm just like jumping to the next thing. So
I know you. That's okay, and there's a little bit of a lag, so sometimes I don't leave enough room for that either. So the next aspect is health, which I already mentioned before, which is for you to really, that's a very important aspect of good selfishness. And it is because if we don't have physical health, as you probably know, or mental health and emotional health, we are just not able to operate as well, to function as well. We are not able to contribute as well. We are not able to enjoy our life, right? So for us to put some focus on our own well-being is essential, right? And if it comes to top priorities, health would probably be the first aspect for us to take care of, right? And there's nothing, actually, no, I wouldn't want to put it more positively. It's essential and important that we make sure that we keep our health as vibrant and as good as possible, so that we can enjoy life, so that we can contribute. Because I personally believe that we are here to enjoy our life and to share our gifts and to contribute in a meaningful way. And that is strictly connected to us being healthy and not to have to worry about a bad diagnosis or about lack of energy or that we don't have to deal with physical pain. Right, because it numbs us or it dulls our experience and our capacity to contribute. Right, so focusing on our health is as much for our own good as it is also for our ability to contribute. Because if we are not healthy, we're just not able to be 100% ourselves.
Yep, that's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm. You probably know that very well, right?
Yeah, I'm preaching to the choir, as we say here in the States, preaching to the choir.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so there are two more aspects left now. One is work and the other one is relationships. So work I already touched on a little bit before, which is for you to make sure that whatever work you do, whether it's as an employee or as a business owner, whatever it is that you feel called to do, that you allow yourself for it to be as meaningful and as enjoyable as it can be. And even if that means that you step out of your family tract of everybody being a lawyer, where you feel like you have to do it in order to hold up the family tradition. No, you don't. Right. So if it's like you are here for a reason, and maybe your reason is or your purpose in life is to be an early child educator and not to go into law, because that's the being an educator for young children is just what sets your heart on fire. Well, then allow yourself to explore that and to do that regardless of what other people are thinking. right? And it takes courage. I know that, right? And at the same time, it will set you free and it will light up your life and give you so much more fulfilling feelings of satisfaction and contribution that will then, from the health perspective, it will make your body more energetic. It will infuse new, fresh, healthy energy into you and your body. And that will just light up your body and make it so much more resistant to any kind of diseases or other things that might try to take you down, right? So just please, if anything, not if anything, but work is such an important factor, and it really pained me when I was in the corporate world to see how many people were struggling. They hated to come to work on Monday morning, and they were just living for Friday afternoon to come around, and it's just so painful, such a waste of your potential. So please don't get stuck on that track and give yourself the freedom to explore something is good for you.
Yeah, that one actually resonates with me as well, because my first career, as I've often said, people that have listened to my show know this about me, is that my first career, I was in tech. I was really good at it. You know, it's like I was a systems analyst and database designer. I was really good at it, but I wasn't that passionate about it. And, and there came a time in my life where it's like, oh, my gosh, what am I doing? Ironically, though, that training and that mindset actually helps me now, because I'm a really good problem solver, So
there you go.
But, I laugh and say I just switched from computer systems to body systems, it's very, very – it's very important to do what – what speaks to you, and what makes you feel like you're contributing. Because when we feel like we're contributing to the world and to the lives of others, it makes it's not necessarily all about us, but it does make it easier to do it when we're getting the feel goods out of it, because we help someone else. It makes us feel like we are living out our life's mission, and that we're here for a reason. So I get that.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And just one additional note for this topic. And when we are both saying that, right, Michaela and I, that it's really beneficial for you to pursue what you're passionate about and how you can contribute, there may still be times in life where you just have to do a job in order to earn your income. That may totally happen, right? And if you're in a position like that, I would still encourage you to start exploring on the side on what it is that you find more satisfying and more fulfilling, right? So even if you can't switch 100% right away to that being your full-time pursuit in work, at least start exploring, start opening that door a little bit of what else you might be able to do that brings you more joy, right? So that you don't feel just stuck on that track of that you have to earn income for your family, which is a worthy thing to do, right? I'm not denying that. And at the same time, explore something bigger for yourself.
Yeah. Or maybe start a side gig that you really love to kind of set out.
Yes, exactly. That's another good idea. Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so the last point then are relationships. And we are social beings, right? We don't live in the world as isolated in our little bubbles, although sometimes it feels like that. But we are surrounded by people, and we interact with people, and we need other people, right? And relationships can be also very tricky, and they can really put a damper on our life if we don't pay close attention and take consistent action to make sure that we surround ourselves with people that appreciate and support and love us, and people that inspire us as well, right? So that we have that energy of that human energy around us that is positive and uplifting and in general supportive of us. Because making sure sometimes that may have to look like cutting people out of our life if they are no longer in alignment with what we stand for, or if they behave disrespectfully towards us or other people, right? And they're not in alignment with our core values and what matters to us. So maybe the time has come to let those people go, which isn't always easy to do, but it may be the most self-respectful thing and the healthiest thing that you do is to cut their energy out of your life, right? So that you really create an environment for yourself that is supportive of you, that is positive, loving, and appreciative, and that you have also, what Michaela said before, healthy boundaries around people of what is okay for them to do and what is okay how they treat you and what is not, right? And at the same time, you are respectful of other people's boundaries, right? So it's a give and take in those healthy relationships where people can negotiate with each other what is okay to do and what is not, and respect each other in that kind of a context. So for you to focus on your relationships and make them as healthy and as enjoyable and fruitful as possible is yet another aspect of being selfish in a good way, which will in the end also again support your health and your well-being. So that's the eight aspects of good health. Good selfish.
Wow, that's like great. I mean, that's pretty, you know, hits all the targets there. So so one of the things that, you know, in my dealings is that I know sometimes when people get new tools, it's hard for them to really kind of put them into place. So, you know, so I try to encourage people to, you know, to just consistently do it till it becomes habit and it becomes second nature.
Yeah.
So what are some essential habits you feel that we should develop under the umbrella of good selfishness?
Mm-hmm. Good question. So I think one of the core tools is communication. And so one of the habits that I think will set you free and will set you on a good track of being good selfish and supporting your health and overall being is to speak your truth. To speak your truth and to act your truth. And what I mean by that is, and I spoke to it a little bit before in one of the aspects, is that in the autonomy aspect, is for you to actually be honest about what it is that you want and what it is that you don't want, and what it is that you can accept and what is not acceptable to you. Right? And to say yes and no honestly. And to develop that courage to take a stand for what is right for you in the moment. And that can, again, take courage, right? Especially if we are used to saying or to behaving in a certain way and adapting our behavior to what we think other people expect of us, right? But to speak our own truth and stand firm in that and saying, no, I can't really join you tonight for dinner. I don't feel well, or it's just not something I feel up to, is an important aspect and habit to develop, which will eventually set you free. It will make you feel self-confident. And also just, there's something which is almost hard to put into words. Like when I experienced that and when myself, because I was a people pleaser for the longest time of my life, right? Saying, trying to, being the peacekeeper and wanting to, just make it all good for other people at the cost of me shutting down my own creativity, my own desires, right? So for me to actually say, okay, no, I don't really want that, it was a big step, right? It takes courage to do that, right? But there's something, what I wanted to say is there's just something almost intangible that happens when we do that. And it's just that inner sense of strength and validation and feeling okay, just feeling solid and that it is okay to be me or it's okay to be you. That happens, which I would never have expected because I didn't have that experience before, right? So daring to stand up for you, and voice your needs is something so, so important. And here's a little bonus tip for you. So when you have trouble saying no, for example, to an invitation where normally you would have said yes, here's something you can do. You can bring the other party into your support by being open with them and telling them something along the lines of, well, let's role play with you, Michaela. Well, Michaela, I have actually made a new commitment to myself, which is that 3 nights of the week, I want to have time to meditate for 2 hours, and tonight is one of those nights. So while it's hard for me to say no to you, I would really appreciate if you could support me in my new commitment and be okay with me skipping our girls' night tonight and honoring my commitment to doing the meditation. Would you be willing to do that? You see what I'm doing there is I'm, thank you. So what did I do there? What do you think, what happened there, Michaela, from your perspective?
Well, for me, it's more like a reframe. And, it's like, okay, let's just, it's still the same, but we're reframing it in a way where it honors us while also honoring them and giving them the opportunity to be honorable themselves. You know, there's an old adage, if somebody wants to give you a gift, saying no to the gift robs them of the opportunity to give the gift. So you're basically giving them the opportunity to be honorable to you and to them as well while you're honoring your own self.
Yeah, exactly.
At least that's what I got from it. So.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you nailed it. You nailed it. And as you probably know yourself, right, it's nice to be asked for support, right? We kind of like, I think we all like that, right? So in that moment, we really like speak to the person's, desire to be of service or to have something to offer to somebody else, right?
Yeah.
So that's a little trick that I learned years ago in a mini coaching session, and I've been puffing using it so many times. Right?
that's an awesome trick. I'm gonna have to put that one into play as well. So
do that.
All right. So that being said, okay. So you know, a lot of this is about how to honor yourself while holding your boundaries and being quote unquote selfish. Okay.
Yes.
So. You know, we have holidays coming up, okay?
Uh-huh.
So we're in September, you know, it's like, you know, within the next month or so, there's going to be holidays out the wazoo until the end of the year, okay?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, so with the holidays, there's also lots of family activities and festivities and all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of hard to be selfish during that because the concept of selfish doesn't really fit with the whole idea of peaceful family holiday gatherings and just putting up with, you know the weird uncle that, you know, that irritates everyone and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, how can we approach being a good selfish during the holiday season without causing a lot of drama?
Yeah, that's a really good.
I'd like to know that one.
Okay, well, just disclaimer: there's no guarantee that my tips will work, but I think you've got a pretty good chance at making things better for you by again going back to communication. Right? Sometimes it's really taking that moment to say, okay, well, listen, I just feel the need to withdraw for a moment. You guys carry on with your board games. I'll be back in an hour, right? If you feel the need to withdraw because there's just too much going on in the living room, it's just too much energy, then let people know, right? So be willing to negotiate, right? If they have a certain expectation or desire of you, but you have something that is conflicting with that, well, then be willing to negotiate. Right, but it's important that we talk with each other, right? Rather than making assumptions about what is expected, what the other person should do, what I should do, how we should all sit around the table and be happy, well, maybe we're just making too many assumptions in our head and are actually not speaking them out loud, right? So I think the essential thing is really for us to communicate about what works for us, what works for everybody, and let everybody have their say, right? And that's like making assumptions is one of the biggest mistakes I've done in my life, right? Just assuming what other people were thinking or expecting of me. Has that ever set me up for trouble? Right. So I think the one tip that I can give for people if they want to have peaceful holidays or maybe pleasant. They might not always be peaceful. Sometimes it's okay to have some constructive conflict and have some constructive discussions around things, around topics and expectations. Right? But it's important that we are able to listen and to put things on the table for everybody to look at them and to find their position to them and then negotiate, right? It's better than having a set idea in our mind that we don't share with anybody and then we're upset and offended if the other person behaves in a way that we didn't expect from them, but we never told them what we expect, right? So I think the open communication is essential.
All right. Yeah, well, that's a very good tip. I'll just add the caveat, though, that probably should not talk about religion or politics, though, in that community. Because that will go awry very quickly, and there's no negotiating to get out of that one. So, no.
Yeah, totally. Totally. You must have a very solid family foundation to bring those topics up, for sure.
Right?
Maybe that's the next level. That's the next level.
All right. Well, you know, thank you, Monica, for being here. You know, I love, you know,
my
the
pleasure.
Ideas that you brought to the table for us today. So, you know, that's it for today's show. Be sure to visit Monica's website at cleardirections.ca. You can also find all of her links at livingnaturallyforlife.com/radio. Including an invite to schedule a clarity session with her. You can also download her freebie that we were just talking about, The Wheel of Good Selfishness. And there are some recommended reading material there that Monica highly recommends, so I suggest you do that. While you're there on my website, please also check out my own resources, including affirmations, meditations, ebooks, and freebies, of which I have an awesome new freebie, by the way, at Living Naturally for Life.com/free scan. You don't want to miss this. If you go there, it'll tell you what it's all about. And trust me, it'll blow your mind. So check it out. So it's been awesome having you here, Monica. And thank you all for listening today. Until next time, in health, this is Micaela Jones, ND, and you have been listening to Living Naturally with Micaela on News for the Soul Radio. Remember, health and wellness is a journey, not a destination. Enjoy your life along the way. And as Monica says, take a little time to be a little selfish. All right, that's it. Bye.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.